coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, November 16th, 2021. I'm Doug Hagman, HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Remember, two N's on Hagman. I want to thank you very much for joining me today. I'm going to get right into it. You know, it seems like the news every day, you get pummeled with headlines. What's going on? Rittenhouse trial. I mean, just name anything. And it's the verbosity, if that's a word, of the news is just absolutely overwhelming at times. But let's not forget some of the things that are important to us. Obviously, the stolen election. I asked my wife last night. I said, tell me something. What are some of the most important things that you and others think about? You know, the normal people, right? Not like me, but normal people. And she rattled off probably half a dozen things that, you know, are not being covered. Number one, the stolen election. Where are the numbers for the stolen election? Where are the state's attorneys general? Where are just, I mean, what's happened with that? Have we forgotten? Did we choose to forget? Of course, we can't forget. And then, of course, the second thing. The U.S. citizens abandoned, another issue. The U.S. citizens who are abandoned in Afghanistan, what about them? Why haven't we heard much about them? You have to dig for that information. Of course, this regime left American citizens behind enemy lines to their certain death. Now, I know Glenn Beck has done some things and others have done other exposés on them, but in general, I'm talking about in general, right? How about the patriots still being held in the DC jail, right? What about those people charged with misdemeanor crimes being held in a DC jail? They're virtual political prisoners. Marjorie Taylor Greene visited those prisoners last week. Well, it was actually about 10, 11 days ago. And appeared on Steve Bannon the following day. Let's play a little bit from that, if we can, describing her experience in the jail. Lest we forget, let's make sure that we leave no man behind, whether it's in Afghanistan or in the 1-6 the 1-6 Patriots jail in D.C. Here it is.
Okay, MTG, you and Louis Gohmert, the great Louis Gohmert, went down there last night. You're a fighter. This is a fight worth having?
This is the only fight. And I'll tell you why. This, what we saw in the jail last night is something that should not happen in our country. And I want to say this. It wasn't just the January 6th part of the prison and the jail that was horrific. It was all of it. There were so many things wrong there. And I think if anyone calls himself a Christian, it's time to stop being complacent. And our Christian church in America has been complacent for far too long, to a point where we are seeing people wanting to turn the federal government into the church of America, and the federal government can never come close, and the federal government is not God. See, Christians need to get out of the pews, and you need to take action. Christians need to care about others and put your faith into actions. Loving one another isn't sitting in church 1 hour a day or maybe going and having a Bible study where you're sitting around with the same people every week. Being a Christian means walking the walk, and that means you need to show up. You see, you have to call and you have to show up in person. Go visit people in jail. They should never have to languish there. Demand to visit people like the January 6th defendants. And if you care about this country and you care about the future for your children and your grandchildren, make it be known that you will never stand for this kind of mistreatment. where people, the men that I saw last night when we walked in that room, I almost don't have words. It's hard to describe it. But we walked in that room, and I was greeted by men who thought they were never going to see anybody come for them. They came out cheering and crying as soon as they saw me, and they were so thankful. It was like they were prisoners of war. They had lost hope. They felt forgotten. They said that some of their family members think they're dead, and they're not dead. They're there, and they are being treated horribly, and they are being pursued by the power of the federal government. But here's who we are. We are the American people. And this government is a government for the people and by the people. And that means the people of this country need to tell this government that we are reining them in, and we will not stand for their authoritarianism and their tyranny. And that is exactly what we are going through right now. One of the men gave me this picture right here, and he let me have it. And I will not stop until this man and the rest of them are free and this happy once again. Yes, they are charged with crimes. Yes, they deserve their day in court. And justice should be served, but not justice that comes with a weapon of politics, because politics is evil. It is completely evil. And I want you to know, if you care about this country, none of us have drawn a flag. None of us have drawn a flag and sing the national anthem every single night at 9 p.m. But there are men that are being held and treated as political prisoners that do it every night, that do it every night, and they cry when they sing it. And I got to be there with them.
All right.
And
so here's the point. Let's not forget what's important. Let's not forget the triage, the news that bombards us every day. And that's this is important. We cannot forget. We cannot leave men and women behind. Men in the D.C. prison, of course, for misdemeanor charges of trespassing. You know, the left wants to make this about insurrection. It was not an insurrection. You haven't seen what an insurrection looks like, and you will see it. You keep this up. You keep things like this up. That's not a threat. That's just an observation. January is on the same vein. January 6th commission member Representative Elaine Luria has six-figure investments in Chinese Communist Party tool. What does that even mean? Well, National Pulse has done an expose, and I won't get too far into this, but this January 6th commission member, Representative Elaine Luria, all right, and this is a headline on National Pulse, has a six-figure investment in Chinese Communist Party tool, meaning, of course, the how can I put this? Tech firm flagged by the U.S. State Department for aiding the regime's military and espionage capabilities. That's what this specific tool is, and this is a financial investment into that, much like a stock or a supporting a purchase would be. So just think about that. And, of course, speaking of the 1-6 Commission, you know some of the people on there. Of course, Benny Thompson on the 1-6 committee, the chair, as a matter of fact, talking about insurrection in other countries and advocating the same, but not here, of course, or even just understand the irony of that, I guess. I'll leave it at that. But again, U.S. citizens abandoned in Afghanistan, let's never forget the 1-6 patriots who are languishing in a manner that is not constitutional. In other words, charge them and adjudicate the legal cases, but do not let them languish as political prisoners, which is what's happening. All right, one more thing, and this is something that's not getting a lot of play. I haven't seen this brought up. I'm going to rattle off a number to you. No, I don't want to hear bingo. Where did I put that? Here it is. ICD, that's ICD-10, CM, Z28.20. If you look on your screen, immunization not carried out because of patient decision for unspecified reason. So every time you go to a doctor, every time you're seen by a healthcare facility, your insurance company or the insurance companies bill or get billed by the doctor and by the facility. And it's through a coding system. What is this? What is this suddenly that took place in, that took effect on, or was revised on October 1st, 2021? ICD-10, code Z28.20. What is that? This billing code? It's immunization not carried out because of patient decision for unspecified reason. If you scroll down on that, what you're looking at there, and this is directly from this particular ICD-10 CM diagnosis code. If you look at this, this is what they, how can you not bill, or how can you bill for a service not rendered? In other words, people wonder, for example, and I know there are people out there working in the insurance industry and healthcare industry and saying, well, this is just standard. We've had this for a long time. That's true. That's very true. But what's the main purpose behind the October 1st, 2021 revision to include not taking the experimental gene therapy? I want to bring your attention to that. This is a real thing. We need to take a good hard look at this and find out what's going on exactly with this. And not, and the last one, or near to the last one, vaccine refused by patient. Is that the last one, Eric? No, okay. And it does go further. And of course, code history, revision history of that particular designation. You can see right there. Let me see. Okay, no change. But the bottom line, October 1st of 2021, the designation changed to include the denial of the coronavirus genetic tool, if you will.
Did you deny your herpes vaccine?
You know what? I don't need a vaccine for herpes. Thank you very much. I'm not only pure blood, I'm pure, you know, I'm just pure as a driven snow. Oh, somebody's got an objection there. Yeah, let's sound effects. Let's have sound effects. All right, so that's that. But so you can see where this is going. And, of course, what we're seeing happen in Austria and Australia, but specifically Austria, isn't it very interesting to see police walk, and it's chilling, of course, to see police walk, mass police walking down the aisles, checking people's phones for their COVID passports, as they're called, which should absolutely create a level of concern like no other. But this is what's taking place. Now, about the vax and such, about the genetic jabs and what have you, you're talking at a level, I believe, of taking human 1.0, the human beings as God created, in creating this transhumanistic overlapping with artificial intelligence, the human 2.0, of course, transhumanism. And I was talking with my wife again last night. We were talking about the transhumanist movement as well as the transgender movement, very much connected, very much under the satanic realm, very much involved in creating this genderless society. And these NPCs or robots, if you will, governed by AI, for your convenience, of course, right? And that's something we have to get into. Look, this goes much deeper than what people realize. Okay, quickly. Let's get into some other things that are taking place. Again, I want to hit these hard, fast. Let's move quickly. There's things going on in Scottsdale, Arizona, but they're not limited to Scottsdale. In case you've missed it, this is a Scottsdale Unified. Why am I not seeing this on my show prep? Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Clip number 3. Scottsdale Unified School Board President was removed, Jen Michael Greenberg. And we spoke about this yesterday, I believe it was, over controversy. That's the headline, over controversy. Now, I'm going to play you, or Eric the Tech, by the way, will play you more accurately. What's that? Oh, after a 30-second ad, of course. This is from a local television station, local to Scottsdale, Arizona. But here is, as you watch this, oh my goodness, I want you to, people have to, I've been getting phone calls about this after last Friday's show. Again, as a life, or 35-year veteran investigator in the private sector, all right, I've been, I know about this stuff intimately, all right, and database use, the hiring of investigators for illicit purposes, you don't do that. If you want to keep your license, you don't do what is being done here. But what I want you to, when you're watching this, what people need to understand, because I've been getting calls and emails about this. This is not just happening in Arizona. This is happening across the country, and it's for a very deliberate reason. But I've got some important questions that need to be asked after you watch this, and some answers to those questions. Let's go ahead and roll this. This is from, I think, News 12 in Scottsdale. Go ahead.
The president of the Scottsdale Unified School District Board was stripped of his title tonight in the wake of a controversy that's made national headlines.
The now former president is accused of collecting personal information and pictures on some parents and children in the district. Team 12's Erica Stapleton is in Scottsdale with more on what happened at tonight's board meeting. Erica.
Jan Michael Greenberg is still on the board, but he's no longer president. In a matter of minutes, the board voted on a new leader amid calls for Greenberg to resign.
Mr. Greenberg, what do you have to say about the Google Drive?
Jan Michael Greenberg.
What did you mean when you said not all the facts are available here?
Dodging questions after he was ousted from his role as SUSD president. The motion after controversy erupted last week. Greenberg is accused of collecting private data like social security numbers, addresses, and pictures involving some parents, their kids, and community members. The Google Drive containing this information was allegedly in Greenberg's files and reportedly maintained by his father.
I felt violated. I felt threatened.
Karen Werner says her family's information is on the drive.
Background checks on me. He has information on my family members.
She and other parents think they could have been targeted after speaking out against board decisions, like COVID-19 policies at meetings.
What was the intent? Why are you doing this? Just because I disagree with their views?
Superintendent Scott Menzel said he didn't know about the Google Drive.
Well, I am disappointed in the way that parents were referenced and the things that were reported.
Scottsdale police and a forensic investigator hired by the district are investigating. Greenberg speaking out only during the meeting, claiming the board didn't have all the facts.
There appear to be bad actors involved, and I am confident our law enforcement professionals will quickly resolve these issues.
The board members voted to elect Patty Beckman as their interim president.
That's a step in the right direction.
And some are still calling for Greenberg to resign from the board, which he hasn't done or addressed. The board can't just vote to make Greenberg resign. He was voted in by the community and can only be removed in a recall vote. We're in Scottsdale.
All right, so that's the story, right? So what you have is a school board president who was actually demoted to a school board member because they can't fire the guy, although they can recall him, or they can, which they're in the process of doing. In other words, the people of the Scottsdale school district. But ask yourself, who is behind this ultimately? Was it this guy, this Jan, as he's called, Jan, whatever his name is, Jan Michael Greenberg? No. I mean, he's the tool, the literal tool, that's doing this. But who's behind this? Because what this guy did, along with his father, now understand, the guy you just saw there, hey, he lives at home with his folks, all right? I'm not judging at this point, but go figure. My head hurts. So he lives at home with his folks. His dad, his father, was the guy behind a lot of this in terms of getting arranging the investigator and arranging the data on the drive along allegedly with his brother. And again, I'm speaking allegedly here. So his father and brother assisted the school board president to get all this nefarious or this deep dive background information on the objectionable parents, right, of the district. None of this is ethical. None of the, and as a matter of fact, I would argue there are some laws that were broken on a state and potentially federal level. Okay? Because, again, having done this for 35 years, look, I understand. When you have a database, a proprietary database, you have to justify every search you make. And it better not be because, well, I don't like the guy, or I want a date, or what, you know what I'm saying? It's that simple. Look, I do this. I am audited quite frequently. It's just a part of the nature of the beast. You get audited. You have to make sure that when they ask, hey, what's this for? Is this for a legitimate reason? And it better be legitimate. I'm just saying. Those parents have one hell of a civil suit pending against that school district and against that individual and his family. Oh, I will say that. But here's the other part of the equation. This is not just happening in Scottsdale. There's more. This is happening all across the country. In certain areas of the country. And I can tie it back to a couple of people. But before I do, I want to show you one other thing that is not being shown. Because that's why you tune in. Go to clip 4. And I believe there might be some lead time here to clip 4. Go ahead and go to clip 4. And I'll talk until you can hear the voices. This is, clip 4 is Mark Greenberg, who is the father of, and again, plenty of time after, whatever. Mark Greenberg, who's the father of the school board president, former school board president, in a candid conversation in his kitchen, where Sonny Boy lives, with his, Mark and his mommy, or Jan, as they call him. Jan lives with daddy Mark and mommy. And this is a casual conversation about, how do I describe this? About some objectionable parents and some Facebook postings. Have you seen this? I bet not. At your leisure, go ahead.
The women in this community are sick and tired of being bullied. He seems mentally ill and probably shouldn't be around students. People like him and Mark Allen Greenberg, this is Carrie Carey, hiding their attacks behind the First Amendment is scary. It's dangerous. Like the guy who called Michelle Argentierita a whore. Yeah, suddenly me making fun of Perleberg is... Great shit. Then Edmund chimes in. The existence of Mike Norton and Mark Greenberg and others simply shows the issue is not a one-time event. I really want Edmund to die. I'll be so happy I'll have a fucking party.
I wonder if the AG's office has anything else,
This is great, Carrie. I'm so glad that Michelle Argentierita had the courage and the tenacity to investigate and report his behavior. So proud of strong women. These disgusting men need to be stopped, and their family members need to quit condoning their conduct. His wife is a teacher at Laguna teaching elementary-age children. Sad. Jan Michael Greenberg is president of the SUSD board, and he allows his daddy to harass women in the district. Disgusting. SUSD is better than these deplorable men.
All right. So that was an excerpt from a larger video. Actually, if you go to the source on that, right underneath the show prep, in the show prep notes there, if you go to the source on that, you're going to see a Arizona Daily Independent article here. Police investigating Scottsdale School Board President Greenberg, father really wanted parent to die. All right, so if you scroll down on that, if you don't mind, if you can, okay, right, let's see here, right there is, I believe, the video, the longer video, and you can go ahead and press play on that if you can. I don't know if you can on that. What's that? Okay. We just have to flip this. But this is where this was taken. This is the venue in which that clip you saw was taken. This gives you some insight, and this is the one I thought I had. This is like 30 seconds of non-verbal stuff. It's just I don't know what it is. It's just his father coming in into his house after riding his motorcycle, and then talking about this. Okay, so you can kind of fast forward if you can. There's ostensibly, allegedly, the school director's father coming home. And again, what you just witnessed was the discussion of that Facebook. This is postings and the contempt that they had for these for these parents. This is the unedited version of that. All right, and you can find. I'll put the link up in the program description box. The reason I'm showing you this is this gives you. And why in the world would you record this? I don't know. I don't have a clue, but there's Sonny sitting there at the breakfast table while Daddy is talking, and I'm not gonna. You don't have to, you know, talking about poor us, and these people are so bad. But you can go through this at your leisure. But again, Arizona Daily Independent is the source on that. But this is. Again, this is the backdrop of those postings and them going through those postings and the discussion that we have to get rid of these people. Now, is this coordinated? It is. Why Scottsdale, for example? Here are my questions. You have all these things taking place. Why, for example, in Scottsdale? It's not only in Scottsdale. It's in some of the larger cities where critical race theory is being taught, where mass policies, mass mandates are enforced. So who is behind this? Because it costs money for private investigators. It costs money to access proprietary databases, to circumvent the process, or to go directly to a PI and have them circumvent the process and the reasonings for these background checks. What are the background checks for? Is it for blackmail? Is it to ultimately embarrass the people? You have to ask these questions as well. No one's asking these questions. There's a lot of lip service, but no one's asking the harder questions. But the biggest question of all is, the biggest two-part question is, A, who's paying for this? And B, is it coordinated among other school districts? And the answer to B is yes. And the answer to A, the first part of that, or one or whatever, who's paying for this? Based on everything I've been able to come up with, there are some NGOs. Now, I'm not going to name them yet because I'm following the money trail. I'm attempting to identify these people. But there are some non-governmental organizations working on behalf of the National School Board Association. You're going to find some familiar organizations known to you nationally, I believe, once my investigation is done, that are involved in the same, how could I put this? They've got the same agenda with masks. They've got the same agenda with the clot shots. They've got the same agendas with, and they're on the same side as, we'll say, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. This is my preliminary findings, but I'm not ready to name the groups yet. But I think you can figure them out because you've heard their names before. Again, these philanthropic organizations, this is where the money's coming from. And some of these people, this is where the coordination is coming from. But here's the takeaway from all of this. The takeaway is very simple. They're coming after not just you, but your children. Or stated differently, they're coming after not just your children, but they want to eliminate you. Why did I put this segment together this way? Because again, you're talking about transgender, which overlaps the transgender ideology, which overlaps into the critical race theory, right? Because hey, transgender, critical race theory, they're kind of facets of the same diamond, shall we say, which laps into transhumanism, which laps into the push to be vaccinated, which again, not a vaccine. So when you scratch the surface and when you start digging down in different holes, it goes right to the same tunnel And that tunnel leads right to the same groups of people. Again, this is something that I'm just blown away when I'm doing this deep dive research. And people need to be doing this deep dive research. Very quickly here, as we prepare to bring Stan Dale on, I just want to get to a couple of other very, very quick things. The Alex Jones, very quick, if we can do this. Can we put up the first segment here? Alex Jones' statement on the default judgment in the Connecticut Sandy Hook lawsuit, very quickly. The reason this is important to me is because with all the eyes on the Rittenhouse jury now out, with all the eyes on the Rittenhouse trial, which as they should be, let's not forget Alex Jones, in my view, in my personal opinion, being the being denied his day in court, this is not being portrayed. His situation is not being portrayed in the media, in print, even by alternative media, as it should. Here's his statement, 30 seconds, maybe a minute max, and then we can cut the stand. Go ahead.
Now, truly here in America, I have been denied a trial by jury in two separate states, Texas and now in Connecticut. They have openly said that I am now guilty until proven guilty. The only question is, how guilty am I? America, all of your rights are being sacrificed right now on the altar of political correctness. And now they're coming after our most sacred right, the First Amendment.
All right. That's the clip will be at HagmanReport.com in the program episode description box. I just want to say this. He was denied his day in court. He was asked to submit various bits of information, pieces of information. He submitted tons and tons and tons of information as requested, but the request became more, I want to say banal, but that's not the right word. He could not comply in the manner in which they requested. So what happened was they threw a default judgment on him without a jury, without allowing him to appear before a jury of his peers. This is what's happening in America today. This is, once more, okay? You take a look at Alex Jones, you take a look at Kyle Rittenhouse, two different situations, but again, the same corporate media slant, bias, in misinformation, disinformation on both. So I'm gonna make sure that people understand that Alex Jones was not given his day in court. And Kyle Rittenhouse, of course, we're going to see what happens with the jury. Hey, if it's in my mind, if they're only out, and I'm recording this in advance, so if they're only out for a short period of time, they could be back right now when you're watching this. But if they're only out for a short period of time, that means, hey, good job. In my view, anyway, he's free of the charges. If they're out for a long period of time, either a hung jury or split verdict on the charges, that's just my view. I don't know. I should learn to talk, or I should learn, because you never, ever try to predict what a jury is going to do. But in this case, I think that there is a lot of pressure from outside sources against the jury. There may be one or two holdouts, activist jurors, and there may be, of course, stuff going on behind the scenes with juries, with the jurors, and with the judge as well. The threats, you can't even print some of the threats he's gotten. Speaking of that, going back to the Scottsdale story, attachment one, the dossier image. This was from Fox News. This is the type of stuff, whether you're a juror on the Rittenhouse trial or whether you are a parent in the Scottsdale Unified School District, folks, this is the kind of stuff that they compile to, you know, on you. And if we can put that image up. The contents of the dossier on the Scottsdale, parents' bankruptcy filings, family trees, online background checks, civil court case summaries, hidden camera footage. Gee, what do you think that's about? Phone numbers and addresses. Folks, understand, this is deep, this is coordinated, and this is wide. It's just not Scottsdale. It's just not Rittenhouse. It's just not Jones. This is happening all over the place, and we are the targets of this. All right, Stan Dale from standale.com. By the way, thank you so much for holding with me. I do appreciate that. Stan, thank you so very much for accommodating my program clock, and God bless you. Let's get into whatever you want. Stan Dale from standale.com. EMPShield.com, code word Hagman. By the way, if you don't have one of these, everyone needs one, two or three for Christmas, one for your home, one for your generator if you've got one for your car, one for your son-in-law, one for your son, one for your daughter, one for your aunt, nephew. You know, you get the idea, right? We need to bulk up with these EMP Shield home protection, and one for your business too, if you've got one. Hey, one for the studio, one for Eric the tech. Go ahead and send him one. You get the idea. EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman for $50 off. And there are bulk discounts as well. Pretty soon, Stan and Holly will be paying you to get them. I'm kidding, of course, but there we are. Stan, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, good, good. I was listening to the thing on Alex Jones. That is a sad situation. It's going to spread, I'm sure, that kind of treatment to all of us eventually. But
Yeah. Which is why I mentioned it, because you know, it's being so misrepresented in the media and print and stuff. It's just crazy. And you know, if we can't stick together and speak out for one another, who's going to do it? So go ahead.
Yeah, you were mentioning there in the list of things there in the Arizona thing about what they were compiling on the parents, you know, camera, hidden footage, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
On our show images page today, in slide 58, I have an article about Buttigieg or Buttigieg or whatever his name is there, you know, the fellow that is a transportation secretary.
Yeah.
I don't think much of him anyway, but... it says, if you click on the article, Congress mandates new car technology to stop drunken driving. And you think, oh, okay, blowing a tube, car won't start if you're too drunk or things like that. But oh, no, they're adding in the possibility of putting in an infrared camera that works day and night that focuses on the driver, so that no matter whether you're picking your nose or driving down a highway drunk or whatever, they're going to see that in the record. And so they can, you know, prosecute you for driving or doing something like texting while you're driving and causing an accident, which it's man's way, I guess, of trying to force everybody to follow the law instead of doing it in their heart by the spirit of the law. But I still think it's an invasion of our privacy. People have to be responsible, and if they're not, then they get prosecuted. But the camera spying on us all the time, hearing what we're saying, seeing what we're doing in the car, is just another encroachment on our privacy. And I thought, wow, every day I think, can they do anything else to collapse the United States any quicker? And oh, I shouldn't have asked that. I shouldn't have thought that, because up pops an article like this. Crazy buggers.
You know, Stan, I'm glad you brought that up. We are so far down this road. I mean, 1984 is in our rearview mirror, like a far, long, long ways away. You are so right on this. And that that technology, of course, it's going to be able to measure your mood, however that works, whether you're angry, whether you're, you know, because you wouldn't want an angry driver out there now, would you? But see, so, you know, and here's the thing too, all under the guise of climate change to get rid of fossil fuel or get rid of internal combustion engines and make it all electric, of course. You know, so this is why. It's just a mask. It's just for 15 days. It's just a flatten the curve. It's just for this. It's just for that. We have to fight right now. And I'll tell you what, I'll be damned if I'm going to get a car ever with that in it. And, of course, I'll probably be dead. But nonetheless, that's 2025, I think, right? 4 years from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyway.
You know, I thought, Holly and I were reading that article earlier today. And I said to her, I said, well, look, we'll just put a, you know, black sticky tape over the camera lens, and they can just, you know, go pound sand. And she says, oh, yeah, read further on down. If you do that, it will stop your car and it won't restart again until an official comes and restarts your vehicle. Ah, so you can't turn it off. It just gets, you know, deeper and deeper into we've got you by the short and curlies. Wow.
Yeah.
I just can't believe I'm reading this stuff. And as you say, 1984 is in the rearview mirror, long time ago. Yeah. We blew through that really quick.
Stan, let me ask you a real quick question. I don't want to take any more of your time, but what's it going to take for American people to stand up and say, you're not doing that? No. And hell no, you're not doing that. I want to know, what's it going to take? You know, finally, now we're getting some blowback from parents about the 5 to 11, clot shots, right? The vaccine jab. we're getting some pushback finally, but that's not, it doesn't seem to be enough. What's it going to take? Is it going to take somebody coming to your door to drag you away to before Americans stand up and say, this ain't happening? I'm just curious.
Well, it'll take a trigger. Certainly, the more people that organize peaceful protests about these various things in every state, that will get the public mood, you know, spread out through the nation, if the left-wing media will even cover that, but certainly Fox will. And the more of these that occur, then those in the, not in the spotlight, but watching what's happening and thinking about how to correct it, which will take some executive action, if you know my meaning. And when these people kind of sitting in the background see that enough of the people have had enough, then it will be time to organize various military police and other private units that are in support of getting rid of this government. And we'll have to take them out of office. They are illegals. They don't belong in the office. They stole the election, and the people that ran the election stole it for them. And we have been invaded. We've been taken over by these people. And when people see enough of their neighbors and friends across the country saying, hey, look what they're doing to us, we're being attacked, then those people who would support us in that effort, who are organized, will step to the forefront, I'm pretty sure, from what I have heard. Okay. Anyway.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord, I tell you, sometimes
you just encapsulated my entire show prep for today. Just in that 3 second. Oh man.
Yeah. I mean, Holly and I talk about these things every day, and then toward show day here, we get a lot of other discussions that we talk about that are more germane to what we're doing here on the show. But it's shocking. I mean, it is. I just can't. I look at some of these left-wing TV stations and watch what they're producing, and I think, how can their audience, such as it is, because the ratings have been falling like crazy, how can they believe this stuff? I mean, if they would just tune over to the Fox News and see the other position and the viewpoint and the support for it, it might wake them up. But a lot of these people just don't care. They have their job, they're busy, and they complain maybe, but they don't do anything about it because that's politics. These people have got to get shocked out of their blindness, out of their deafness.
I hear you.
Anyway, to
save you and me the hassle, those people who say, well, Fox News is just, they're no better. Look, I get that. Okay. So tune into the channel of your choice. All right. But don't rely on the corporate, mainstream legacy media to fill you with facts, because that's not going to happen. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, how many people are going to take the time to research this? So many died in the wool people that say, well, politics, we flip a coin election day and then we do our duty and we go back to normal life. Sadly, no matter which channel you watch, it's not going to affect or reduce the price of food that is going through the roof, and the inflation in your car, filling up your car where you can't go to work because you can't afford to anymore. These things are going to bite them in the backside. And maybe when it's hitting them in the pocketbook, they'll say, what's causing this? And do their own research and go out into the internet and various other sources of news from people, testimonies on YouTube about what's happened to them and things like that, which is circumventing, both ultra-conservative and ultra-liberal news media. It's going and researching yourself to see what the heck's going on. And you can do that. Anyway, enough of, complaining about people being, blind. But
What, Stan? I think that's a legitimate, logical, legitimate complaint. By the way, YouTube is about one day away from taking our entire content offline. We haven't published on YouTube for a year maybe. But the resonant stuff that's on there, we violated their standards of truth, okay? Misinformation, truth. Their truth, not the truth. And, of course, they're going to wipe away our content, all of it. So, of course, we have it backed up on hard drives, but that's okay. All right, go ahead.
You see in the background here the remembrance, like for Easter, for the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross and the two thieves that are on either side of him there. And I show that as the sign of man coming in the clouds to remind people that we're not totally without support and help coming. And that the good Lord, you know, the sign of the Son of Man is going to be seen in the heavens soon. And there will be a rapture at some point in time. And there will be a catching up of all his believers that are either in the grave or alive still. So be encouraged. What we share in these shows are telling you about current bad things that show us where we are in the prophetic timeline. And in the back of your mind, remember that the promise, the good news, the gospel is there for our benefit and to calm us and reassure us that he is there and is coming to take care of us. So whatever we say in the rest of the show, this is the primary message that you need to go away with. Now, people, you know, have been emailing me, I guess they've been emailing you about La Palma. And is the Cumbre de Vieja volcano going to erupt and put this tidal wave on the East Coast? And, you know, I get emails from people that say, oh, you got to look at this person, that person's take on it. And one of them, which I think is a fair source of information, is a guy called Bushcraft Bear, who lives on the island there. And on slide 61, you can go and look at the video he made. It's, I don't know, 5-6 minutes, today's video. But basically, if you click on the picture, you'll see that what he's saying is the tremor signal remains in a low range of value. So in other words, he's saying, you know, La Palma is probably, or Cumbre de Vieja is calming down and maybe we're not going to see any more activity. So to support that, I went down, if you look at slides, 37 through 42, even through 45, actually, I'm going to discuss some things about La Palma to ease your mind. Now, let's start with slide 37, which is a picture of the deformation of the surface being bulging up or being bulging, you know, sinking down. And this shows you where the pressure areas are underneath from the magma. Now, as I said, the red areas show it rising. And you'll see along the strip at the, you know, at the bottom there, pointing down toward the point, that's where the green part is just above that red strip. That's showing where the pressure is under the entire ridge of the pathways of the Cumbre de Vieja volcano over the last 400 or 500 years. But they're all under pressure, except for the very tip where it's sinking. And we've seen all the earthquakes and stuff and eruptions occurring along that long red zone until the last month or so. And then we've been starting to see on the right side of the map, red areas where the pressure is, you know, where the uplift, deformation from pressure underneath is rising, which indicates the pressure of magma below. And that's along the edge of the coast there. Now, if we go back to slide 15, now that shows the earthquakes around the Cumbre de Vieja on the ridge there in the last 15 days. Now, to the right of the main picture of the island shows the earthquakes that are occurring underneath Cumbre de Vieja. And then on the right part of that, you see where they're over on the east shore and they're occurring there over a larger area where we saw that deformation occurring. And if you look at the bottom of the picture, the dots there, you'll see that we're seeing more earthquakes over a wider area, but deeper. And these are about 20 miles deep, as I recall, somewhere in that region. And you see that that's what's been happening over the last 15 days. Now go back. Now, all these things I'm showing you are to show you that the activity is there, but it's starting to wind down. Because if you look at slide 39, same kind of slide, you see that there are fewer earthquakes in the last 3 days. Things are starting to wind down, but they're spread out a bit on the east coast, which isn't under a central bulge area. It's just all along that coastline there. All right, now let's get out of there and look at slide 41. Earthquakes, since these things started in the 10th of September this year, since the earthquakes and the eruptions started at La Palma. And you'll see that there were a great number in the green bars, a great number of Richter 2 or lower. These were, you know, minimal earthquakes telling you that there's magma moving in the tube there. They make these reverberations that you can hear. And then, you know, in that same period of time, there were perhaps a lot more around the 13th of September in the tan or orangey looking bars that were between 2 and 3 Richter. Now, the purple ones show you that there were minimal amounts that were over Richter 3. Well, in fact, none showing in here, no reds. The purples are between 3 and 4. Now, as you move along the graph over to October here, you'll start to see little red caps on these bars. And those red caps are where you're having earthquakes that are greater than 4, showing some serious activity underneath Cumbre de Vieja. And now, if we go back from that graph to the next one, which is a close-up of what's been happening here for the last 7 days, and you can see the red bars there tell you that they're, you know, greater than Richter 4. Now, the earthquake numbers are dropping down. You can see this is way down the curve. This indicates to both, you know, the bear fellow there talking about it in the slide 61, I think it was, showing that the activity is slowing down. Now, until we see any more signs of serious magma upthrust and earthquake of magnitudes from the depth moving up into the shallows, until we see that, I'm not going to be too excited about saying, oh, look out for, you know, La Palma to explode and to send a tidal wave toward the East Coast. I want to tell people, calm down, do your preparations for something like that or for any other kind of threat that might happen to you, weather-wise or military-wise or whatever. But I wouldn't concentrate too much on the tsunami business that's being pushed around to frighten people and confuse people. You can see in slide 41, just a quick glance at that, that the multitude of these quakes are down deep. They are heavier than the lighter ones up near the surface. But until you see these stronger earthquakes that we see there moving up toward the surface to within, let's say, 5 or 6 miles of the surface, I wouldn't get excited. And right now, the common wisdom is that it's slowing down. And look at slide 44, last on La Palma now. Slide 44 is a graph of all of the earthquakes, didn't matter what value they were, just the number of earthquakes from the start of this in 10 September till now. And you can see that the graph is definitely trending down, down, down to where we're going to see virtually none on the right side of the graph. So anyway, you can look at these and calm yourself and calm those around you who are worried about it. There are other things more pressing to be concerned with.
Yeah, more graphs. As Eric the Tech just said, we've been looking at graphs all day and for different reasons, but wow. So would you say, wow, that was a close one? Or would you just say, well, this is part of the normal historical ups and downs of things? I mean,
well, look, you know, I don't know that I'd say that we missed one yet, because a lot of the reports that I've read, recent ones rather than the ones 10 years ago, you know, by scientists analyzing this, say that we're not going to see the landslide that the original report talked about because of the terrain of the ocean bottom, excuse me, around the west coast of La Palma and various other factors that would produce such a tsunami. And if you even look at the tsunami wave maps that they have on La Palma's site, the thrust of the wave is going to go south of the equator, away from us. So it's not our problem. It's going to be northern, northeastern, South America, if anything. So I wouldn't worry about it. Just
got it.
Let's look at other things that are more important, actually.
Okay. All right.
Government intrusion. Slide 62. This woman up here is a nominee that Biden has made to take care of our banking, you know, private bank accounts. You know, she's going to be put in the office of the controller of the currency.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this broad says, okay, and she's, you know, no offense, but from over the pond somewhere over the Pacific from China, that's her background. How do we know she's even a loyal American rather than a spy? We found so many Chinese spies here that, you know, it's not funny. And here she's saying, we're going to, eliminate private bank accounts so that the government will give accounts to everybody in the banks and they will control them. And you will be depositing and taking your money out of government bank accounts. So what does this do? Well, obviously it invades your privacy, but it also, gives a report on everything you buy and sell, basically, you know, through paying your credit cards or purchasing, you know, food and gas and things like that. So it gives them an instant read on you and your neighbors, about what's happening in your part of the country and what your emotional level is, believe it or not. Now, it also means that if you have deposits of any kind, doesn't matter whether it's $10,000 over that or over $300 or whatever, they can set any limit they want, because they look at it and they say, look, this person is taking cash out of the bank, or he's paying, you know, this terrorist or that organization. Your privacy is gone, and they're looking at your receipts and your disbursements, and they can already tell from their computer equations what your tax bill is before you even know. It's evil. It really is evil. Even the tax collectors, I mean, in Jesus' time, they weren't thought highly of, and they had to go on what, you know, the neighbors may have said about your crops or whatever, but they didn't have the detail of intrusion into your privacy that this woman is proposing. Just another step trying to take away our rights, our dignity, you know, our country. Just in your face, isn't it?
You know, one thing, in addition to that, she also wants our energy companies to go bankrupt. And gee, I wonder who that would benefit. okay, so yes, and she was. If you look at her history, she is was raised in Marxist Maoist doctrine. Okay, so why can't people see through this? But go ahead.
Well. And just a report to the right of that on slide 63, they're talking here, it's a Fox News interview with the CEO of Tyson Foods, you know, make, pork and, you know, chicken and things like that for us here. And it says here, just in the brief summary I put up there, that they, their fourth quarter, which was our third quarter, the biggest U.S. meat company by sales, said chicken prices rose 19% during the fiscal fourth quarter, or our third quarter, and while beef and pork prices jumped 33% and 38% respectively. Now, okay, chicken, I don't know what the turkey is, but the point is, you know, protein is one of the major things in our diet. And if you increase you're simply saying chicken by 20% in your household budget. If you've got children and if you're on a budget or retired, you know, and on Social Security, these things mean a lot. It's adding 20% to your grocery bill every week. And if your grocery bill was $150, that's putting it up to 100 and, what did I say, 130? If it's 120, it puts it up to about $150. So, you know, I this is a pressure that we don't need, but this is telling you, in this article, what is happening and why Tyson is now going to start raising the prices again to compensate for, you know, the shortfall they had in their fourth fiscal quarter. And we're going to see these rises hit us like gangbusters probably around December, January. Now, I don't know whether they'll hold off until after Christmas or not, but boy, January is going to be murder regardless.
You know, so, beef as well, because of the things that happened in the spring and the summer. There is kind of a glut, not a glut, but there's ample beef availability now, but come the beginning part of the year into the first calendar quarter, we're going to see that supply level diminish. So, you know, I would stock up on beef right now if you can, but that's just another part of this. Go ahead.
Have you checked with any of the frozen food or dehydrated food suppliers? Are they able to supply stock at the moment?
Nope. And I was talking to Bob Griswold, who received a letter from one of the largest suppliers of food for emergency, for long-term storable food. They are not, absolutely not providing, they're shut down through December. I mean, they're shutting all business down through December, all, and maybe longer. So they are not supplying anything whatsoever. So right now, long-term storable food, get it now because you may not get it in January, February, or even through in into December. So that's the story.
Absolutely. Another impact on our primary producers, you know, like grains and you know vegetables, things like that, and who feed cattle as well, which drives prices up. Look at slide 60. There's a map that you can click on at the top to see where the government is going to put a carbon capture pipeline 1,300 miles long across our breadbasket. If you click on the picture, you'll see that the that area there is pretty much into our breadbasket. It's not totally, but it's impacting a lot of our breadbasket, you know, from Oklahoma up into part of Dakotas. And, you know, you can see that. Now, go back to the article. If you click on the article, you can, well, which is a, sorry, that's a, it's a video, but I'll tell you, I'll summarize what it says here. From the farmers, let's see, the carbon pipeline is going to go through the Corn Belt. Farmers' land across the Midwest is being confiscated to make way for the construction of a massive 1,300-mile-long carbon capture and sequestration pipeline. Oh, Dr. Pepper does wonders with my tongue at night. Okay, town halls in hundreds of counties are full of angry farmers as county officials announce there's not much we can do. We're helpless, in other words. As the world enters a food crisis, plowing under tens of thousands of acres of the best soil in America is complete madness. Or is it a flawlessly calculated attack? Christian breaks, Christian is the guy that breaks it down in this official Ice Age Farmer broadcast. Now, that was the guy that we interviewed, it's a Christian farmer. Now, the point is, I mean, it's another one of those things, your jaw kind of drops. You say, excuse me. We're having, you know, a drought, food crisis anyway from that, and you're now going to start, you know, plowing through these guys' fields that produce, you know, the corn and various other grains that we need and feed cattle and things like that. Well, this is an attack, just as it says in the article. It is an attack. We are under attack, people. I don't know how many times Doug and I and people like us have to say this. We are at war with those communists that have infiltrated our government, whether they be Chinese or Russian or whatever. We are under attack. Wake up.
Exactly. And what you're citing there, of course, we've had Ice Age Farmer on as a guest. Stan, yeah, we are definitely going to have a food crisis, folks. Pay attention. This is an attack on us, you and me, all of us. And it's destined to destroy, dismantle the United States and really the entirety of the West. But
you should follow Ice Age Farmer in everything he says. He's a genius.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Perfect.
Oh, boy. Just a quick thing on the Sun, slide 48. You can click on the picture. This is the weekly image I put up showing what the active regions are on three quarters of the Sun. One fourth of it isn't shown because the satellite hasn't worked for years. But these bright white areas show where there are active regions that could potentially produce a CME or things like that. And what this shows us is that we're in a calm period, relatively speaking. The left side of the graph, you see on the edge of it, a bright white thing kind of stretched out. And same as on the right side of it. On the right side, they're disappearing and going around the back of the Sun. On the left side, they're coming toward us. So for about the next 10 days, there's nothing really exciting coming off of the Sun. So you can rest easy on that for a while. A little bit of a funny thing. Well, funny, I guess, is my warped sense of humor. About Iran, slide 46. Iran was rocked by two 6.4 and 6.3 earthquakes after refusing to re-enter the nuclear deal. You can watch the video on it. Officials say the damage is still being assessed. The two quakes came in quick succession with less than 1 minute separation. The epicenters were relatively shallow, estimated to originate from a depth of 6.2 miles. The epicenters of both earthquakes were located about 39 miles northwest of Bandar Abbas in Homozagan, some province. If you click on the picture above and you can zoom it up, you can see where these earthquakes and all the aftershocks occurred. Rather interesting place there, down close to the straits where a lot of the oil tanks and stuff, tankers go as well. This might be, I guess, United States using seismic triggering technology could have caused a weak zone there to, you know, create an earthquake as a warning to Iran. If you keep doing this nonsense, not coming to the table, I don't think this is going to make them change their mind, mind you. But if you don't come to the table and stop your nuclear weapons, you know, development program, then we're going to make more earthquakes and hit your breadbasket and blah, blah, blah. However, with the guy in the White House and much of a communist traitor as he is to the country, I don't think that they need to worry about anything. Quite honestly, this might have been an earthquake caused by natural things, but that would be by the hand of God. But something is telling the Iranians, you're not in favor right now.
God does, we would be wise as Christians to watch what happens as events like this progress. And I think, how can unbelievers continue to deny? You know, that's more than coincidental. That's just my view. But how can unbelievers continue to deny?
I don't know. One of the emails we got this week was from Australia, up in Queensland, in the northeast part of Australia. If you click on the map, it'll blow up and show you where this email came from, up in Queensland there on the upper right. And in the article, it's an email, but Holly made comments on it. It says, read this email sent to Stan this week or this weekend and Holly's comments. The past week, we posted a video of a massive rally in Melbourne. Now, we did post that. And if you looked at the video, there were at least three, Trump signs, big ones, in the rally, waving. So even Australia knows what's right. Victoria is protesting lockdowns and is requiring vaccinations. Now, the people are just saying, we're not going to do it. This is nonsense. Their government's worse than ours at the moment, I think, in getting this mandate for vaccinations. Now, Holly says, when Stan and I lived in Australia, you didn't see protests. But then again, there weren't these global shenanigans happening. Aussies had a bellyful and are rising up. Now, if you click on that, it goes to an article that will be there, for yonks. It's a link on our site. And the lady tells about the threat of door-to-door visits by military to check and see if you've been vaccinated or not. And, she says, read it and share widely and act accordingly. And that's for her, probably for Australian watchers or viewers. It's long. I won't read it all, but my goodness, Australia, I'm glad that we're looking at it in the rearview mirror, Holly and I, because they've just gone crazy down there. I worry for my children, their families over in West Australia, but I'm glad I'm not there.
How can this be so global? And the answer to that, of course, is coordinated. You've got Austria, in addition to Australia, and New Zealand, of course, Canada, to a lesser extent, the United States, not too far behind. And I suggest that the United States is not experiencing what Austria and Australia are experiencing, because we are still armed, and the spirit of America is one of freedom, and we're not going to take this crap. And I'll tell you what, Stan, you come at me with a syringe, I'm coming at you with 556 or 223 or even 308, depending on where you're at. Okay, and that's and you know what? Yeah, I said that. Okay, I'm not going to retract that.
It's not wise, really, to take a syringe to a gunfight.
Yeah,
I mean, think about it. Yeah,
yeah. Old Lunchbox in the Rittenhouse trial wanted to Rittenhouse to fight with his fist, or never mind. Yeah,
or get beaten up and thrown around because he's a little guy. I mean, this. Oh gosh, another thing that just makes my teeth on edge.
You and I are gonna have to sit down and have I was going to say a cup of coffee, but maybe at this point a glass of bourbon or something.
Jack Daniels is pretty good. It's cherry wood. Yeah.
I'm not a Scotch guy. You look like a Scotch guy. I'm not a Scotch guy, but anyway.
No, I'm a bourbon guy. Yeah. I do like that.
Good.
It'd be treasonous from the South to say anything else. I mean, hey, Scotch is for the New England kind of hoity-toities with white hair and, cigars.
There you go.
Yeah. Not me.
Yeah.
Okay. Some interesting things here. One kind of interesting thing is that, and it reflects badly on this administration in the White House, is slide 55. Over in Ethiopia, they've got a civil war going on, and there are a lot still of Ethiopian Jews who had not made Aliyah are gone to Israel to live in Israel. So emergency operations underway to bring Ethiopian Jews to Israel as civil war hits Addis Ababa. divergent elements in the Israeli government have come to a compromise, agreeing to expedite an airlift that could potentially extract around 5,000 of the remaining Jewish Ethiopians from their war-torn country. The original operation Solomon carried out in 1991 involved nonstop flights of 35 Israeli aircraft, including Israeli Air Force C-130s and El Al Boeing 747s, to transport 14,325 Ethiopian Jews to Israel in 36 hours. Now, compare that to what we did in Afghanistan. Israel is a small country by comparison to the United States, had limited resources, going into a war zone, an active, you know, shooting war zone in Ethiopia to get its people out. I mean, it's common sense, isn't it? You never leave anybody behind, your people behind. You don't do that. And here we see a perfect example of what we should have done in Afghanistan and probably other events that have happened under the Biden handle. But I support him anyway. Slide 52 is interesting too, actually. We're talking about plagues and things. Egypt is hit with a plague of deadly scorpions. Micah's prophecy in our time. Three people were killed and over 500 people were treated for scorpion bites on Saturday in the city of Aswan in southern Egypt when it was overrun after a fierce lightning and rainstorm forced the arachnids, scorpions, out of the burrows and into the homes and streets. Egypt is home to the fat-tailed scorpion, one of the most dangerous groups of scorpion species in the world. The Latin name Andraconus means man killer. I don't like scorpions. I've had to deal with them in past down in Australia, where we would have two or three of them living in the house and breeding, I guess. And so at night when you got out of bed, you had to be careful to wear socks to be sure you didn't step on one of the little devils by your bed.
Socks, man. I'd be wearing, you know, boots.
Well, yeah,
waders, boots. Or something. I don't know.
Yeah, boots give you traction in bed for things that you need. But anyway, yeah, okay, yeah.
You didn't just say that.
What was it? Newman, wasn't it? In one of the movies, Paul Newman said that.
Yep.
Okay, yep. Yeah, all right. All right, yeah, yeah. Anyway, you got to have a little mirth here. And there.
That's right. Can you imagine, though? I mean, okay, scorpion, you know, okay. Again, yeah, well, biblical, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I mean, until you've lived in it and you cautiously step down on the floor to take a leak in the middle of the night, you know, you don't know, you know, caution is. I mean, it's, you know, especially in the country regions there and like here in the country, but you know, particularly like in Egypt in this article, that if they're so plentiful that, you know, you're not supposed to even stop praying or whatever you're doing. You're supposed to be real still. So that they don't, you know, bite you and think you're attacking them. But I don't know how you get around that when they're swarming all over and anything in their way is an object of, you know, opposition. Anyway, enough on scorpions there. Oh, yeah. Speaking of scorpions, the Israelis have something called Scorpius, which is a new electromagnetic weapon that they've been releasing in the field and testing, which is a little device. You can see that in slide 53. I think if you click on the picture. Come on, click on the picture. I've got several applications of it there in the picture, showing airborne versions and ground versions at the very bottom of that black box, and at the very top, and they show these multicolored beams coming from it. But what it can do is it can go out to inborn aircraft and missiles and things that are identified as bogies, and hit them with an electromagnetic pulse, kind of like, you know, a focused microwave or a focused EMP pulse. You know, and bring these things down. Now, the neighbors are all complaining about it over there, saying, you know, neighboring countries said, oh, well, look, if they hit one of our, you know, civilian aircraft or things like that, it could cause it to crash because it would disable, you know, everything on the craft and, you know, it would fall to the ground. Okay, well, don't come too close to Israel then, is the thing. You know, they're being very careful, and this is going to be employed or deployed in a time of war. And so, war. You know, it's not fair always, but I think the Israelis need something to defend themselves.
Well, would an EMP shield work on an aircraft, Stan? You know, because there's a new marketing opportunity there.
We've been looking at it as we've been looking at using it on boats in the ocean. Now, in the ocean, your craft has a better ground, grounded to the ocean. In the air, it depends on local conditions, and we're still not sure how to, you know, to solve that problem completely. In some cases, our advice will work, I think, on an aircraft, because the skin of the aircraft becomes your ground. But, you know, it gets hit first by the EMP pulse, and so it's charged from the pulse. So where do you ground it? Unless you have a trailing wire that's insulated underneath. And so there are ways to do it, but it's not convenient. Sad, but that's just the way it is right now with technology that we can do.
You're going to need a longer wire.
And you have to insulate the wire down to the tip of it to withstand 20,000-30,000 volts charge, so it doesn't leak out, so that you can use the atmosphere as your ground. But it has to be down, and you know, you say, okay, when do you access that ground? Because as the EMP pulse charge comes at the craft, it's going to come at your antenna, you know, down there as well, your ground wire. So basically, it might be that this charge will charge the skin of the craft and your ground wire going into your EMP shield in the craft, and that they will both be at the same voltage, so there won't be any shorts in the the electronics, maybe. As I say, we've had numerous kind of animated discussions about how to solve this problem, Tim and I, and so it's not a one-size-fits-all type situation with aircraft. Naval craft, that's, you know, we can take care of that. That's no problem. And ground craft, you know, vehicles and things like that. But anyway, the slide 54, if you click on that, on the actual text, you can see a video, showing how the thing works.
By the way, we do have 15 minutes, so I just didn't want you to feel short on time. So.
Okay, 15 minutes.
Or 13 minutes, 60, I'm sorry, 13.
13 minutes, that'd be 66. Okay, right. Okay, so I've covered that. Okay, in slide 42, America is testing Israeli weaponry for potential war against China. They're on the island, off the island of Guam, testing it. The U.S. military is testing Israel's Iron Dome air defense system in Guam because of the threat of Chinese cruise missiles in the area, where, of course, our fleet is trying to protect Taiwan. Iron Dome has demonstrated an ability to intercept cruise missiles that have traveled below the speed of sound that the Pentagon says could be fired from Chinese bombers at Guam, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal on Tuesday. And you can read the full article there. But it's interesting that we're using the Iron Dome after the Israelis have certainly helped us work out all the bugs on it. To protect Taiwan, we can't afford to let Taiwan come under Chinese control. It's just so going to be so bad for the chip market, for international economy, for all the devices that need chips. I've heard on chips, as far as that goes, that some American car manufacturers are looking at being able to sell the new cars that don't have all the chips that they need, because some of the chips that are missing, or we can't get at the moment, are for, you know, exotic things in the car, you know, extras to make you feel better, like some of the stereo type chips and surround sound, or a seat warmer under your backside so you feel comfortable there, or environmental controls. Maybe you have to use a different kind of chip, you know, to control your air conditioning, which isn't as exotic as what is available or was available in China or Taiwan. Anyway, they're trying to address this chip shortage so they can sell cars. So you can get one of these electric cars that used to be able to do blah, blah, blah. It can't now. You know, maybe later when the chips are available, you can come in and have your chips reinstalled. So it's a workaround, and I think it's, you know, kind of clever that they would do that to try to keep our car economy going. Anyway, that's that. there's been trouble up in orbit. The Russians have been testing what they call a satellite buster, you know, to get rid of trash up in the orbit, to blow up stuff and that's no longer used and get it out of the path of everybody else. Now, Chinese have been doing that too. I talked about that probably last month, where they made this thing to test so that they could go up and get close to debris and trash with, you know, kind of a satellite that gets close to it and encapsulates it, either melts it or throws it down out of orbit into the atmosphere so it burns up to get rid of the trash. Now, another way to get rid of trash in orbit, which we've known about since the start of satellites, is you can blow up a sandbag at in a counter orbit, like instead of orbiting like most of them do this way, your sandbag satellite goes this way. And you get to an altitude where you want it to disperse, and you blow out this sandbag, which spreads out at about 35,000 miles an hour relative speed to the satellites in that area on the planet, or above the planet. And when these little sand grains hit, if one of them hits at that speed, it will go through aluminum and metal like a hot knife through butter. It will destroy the satellites and the debris as well. So it'll be a clean sweep, getting rid of all the debris there, causing it to drop out of orbit and to burn up. Now, the Russians say that's what they were doing. But in slide 48, it says, astronauts on board the ISS take shelter as debris cloud threatens space station. What debris cloud? The Russians tested their debris-moving missile, so they say, and they blew it up, but it left a cloud of debris which may actually hit the space station or portions of it. So they're apologizing. Well, that's really great for you and I down here. We can say, okay, that's great. But the guys on the ISS are hiding in their own little spaceships, you know, to get back to Earth that are attached to ISS for safety, because they're better insulated, you know, for this kind of stuff than the space station itself. And somewhere here, let's see, I think, let me see if it's there.
Do they have the ability to get out of there right now if they wanted to?
I think they could, relatively speaking. They just have to plot a reentry orbit, and within 90 minutes, they could, you know, find a place to drop out and leave. I'm just trying to see if I've got that thing from, slide 57 here. Slide 57 shows the launch of the missile that Russia did. And if you click in the text, it'll take you to the article. Russia on Monday tested a major anti-satellite weapon in outer space, officials said, creating more than 1,500 large pieces of debris and potentially endangering American and Russian astronauts aboard the ISS. Space Command here confirmed the debris-generating event, and Biden administration officials later said that the test involved a direct ascent anti-satellite, a DOSAT, short, you know, mnemonic for it, missile that blew apart one of Russia's own satellites. Now, when you blow up something like that, even a grain of sand, you know, a piece of metal from that explosion is going to cause damage if you run into it. Now, fortunately, when they blew up that satellite, it was one that was orbiting in the same direction as all other satellites at about 17,000 miles an hour, roughly. So that means if it blew up, okay, the sand grains and things would also be traveling around 17,000 miles an hour in parallel orbits to all the other things up there in orbit around the planet. So that means that they may, you know, laterally affect some orbit with the force of the explosion of the sand, but you wouldn't look at it as a satellite killing particle at that point. So we're pretty safe for the moment. But what it tells you is that not only are the Russians and the Chinese doing this, I guess we are too as well, looking at ways to take out, you know, the enemy satellites in orbit in a case of war. Now, the ones that do it first, the ones that flinch first, will, you know, impact our communications and military satellites and civilian communications, everything at once. And to respond to that, some of the stuff we need is in satellite orbits, which we won't have if they hit us first. So we can't really afford to have a first strike saying, oh, well, that was sad. Somehow we've got to try to, you know, to detect and destroy a satellite killer going into orbit. But you can't know if it's already in orbit now. Not everything is told to you, because China's been putting up stuff for its new space station and things. And so what's in those boxes that are in orbit up there? You don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
So much to worry about, or so much to really look at. And
what's in the box?
What's in the box?
Yeah. What's behind door number two? Yeah. Yeah. It's bad.
Man, I'll tell you what.
Look at the picture on slide 50, just on the picture itself. And it's just showing you what we call constellations, satellite constellations. That's what the DOD calls their various projects. You have a constellation of 12 satellites for like GPS for military use. And it forms this communications network. And so I just thought it was an interesting picture there to show you visually what we're talking about. There are, let me see where the article says there. how many satellites are orbiting Earth now, the number is increasing fast, which is problematic. That rate has skyrocketed with more than 1,300 new satellites launched into low Earth orbit in 2020 and more than 1,400 satellites launched in 2021. Just a second here. Got a frog in my throat. In total, there were about 7,500 active satellites in low Earth orbit as of September 2021. Now, low Earth orbit is, you know, within a few hundred miles of the surface. The further ones out at 25,000 miles out are mainly communication satellites and information gathering satellites for, you know, the sun and various other things in deep space. So whether it's an asteroid coming or whether it's a killer sandbag or whatever, we are very exposed, as are the Chinese and the Russians. I mean, we can do the same thing. We can blow sand up and try to take some of their stuff out, or hit it with a ground-based pulse laser weapon, plasma weapon, bring it out of orbit. The Chinese have developed something and tested that, like that as well, like where they can, out in Mongolia, shoot a pulse of a plasma beam up and hit our satellites and bring them down.
This is why we can't have nice things. You know that, right? So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you're in the military, some of the nice things are the weapons you've got to kill the enemy, but or to blind him or whatever. But you're right. Oh, I mean, we spend a lot on defense. Where I agree, if we had a peaceful world government, wouldn't it be nice? Where we spend money on, you know, protecting the environment, protecting the planet from asteroids, crop growth, human health, you know, making that better, and just, you know, I can see where if Jesus were here in control of the planet, which he's going to be eventually here, that things would be fair, you know, and the environment would be put into balance instead of out of balance like we've made it over the years ourselves.
And it's really, you know, I often wrestle with this in the remaining 3.5 minutes we have. You know, it seems like to me, Stan, like a handful, maybe 300, maybe anywhere between 300 and 1,000 people on this planet really want to kill us all. And really, I think if we, I don't know, it just seems like a very small number of people are really screwing the pooch on this one. And we have to identify these people and label them as our enemies and, you know, identify them as our enemies because they are, they want to kill us. And I don't know, the world would be better off, in my view, without those people. But what do I know? Okay.
Well, I agree. And as I've said all along here, the great deception is going to include a quote-unquote alien landing officially on the planet to set up a peaceful world government. And one of the first acts they are going to perform is to get rid of the Soros-type, you know, individuals that have been trying to kill the planet for their own benefit, you know, to reduce the population by about 96%. And so these quote-unquote aliens, which are follow-ons, will set up a government under the control of a human that they control. And that first thing it's going to do is get rid of all of the bad banking, you know, industrial complex that has been enslaving us virtually for money and for control and power. And we're all going to say, wow, look at that. They got rid of the bad guys. The Illuminati, et cetera, are gone. They're locked up or dead or whatever. What great people these quote unquote aliens are. Now that moment is getting very, very close. I put a slide in, which you probably have not seen if you didn't look down at the bottom of my show images page. Slide 21, if you click on the picture, you can click on the other things to see the video and things like that as well. But if you click on the picture, you'll see a painting that I was given, you know, a copy of down in Australia on the northwest coast. And it's a picture made by an Aboriginal artist, Tiliongo. And he has an English name in front of that now, Chad something or other. But he painted this several years back, but about 24, 25 years ago. And it shows aliens, these tall ones, the thin, tall characters, dealing with the Aboriginal guys, the little short guy in the bottom of the picture. And you see them coming down from the sky. And in the Aboriginal lore that, you know, I knew there, they talk about Lightning Man coming down with his rod that shoots, you know, lightning sparks. And with a rod that he touches a rock, it melts, things like that. It's called Featherfoot or Kodachi Man. So I just thought it was interesting that the Aboriginals are looking for this as well.
What a way to go out on. Stan, thank you so much. Lightning Man, of course. And hey, Cosmic Conspiracy, Shades of That. Stan, thank you so very much. May God bless you. Have a great evening. StanDeo.com, that's where to go. Folks, have a great night. God bless.